Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Sides to go short. Sheasel took it well.
And that's a nice kick into the corridor. Sheasel again. Beautiful use of the footy. And that will excite Kangaroos fans.
Harry's World with Harry Sheasel for Temper. A great night's sleep. Night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper.
Welcome to Harry's World on Dwayne's World. Great to have Harry Sheasel in the house. He is a gun for North Melbourne. He's a gun on the microphone as well, and he's going to have a regular health segment on this program. Harry, welcome to the welcome to your program, more importantly. Welcome to you. Great to have you in.
Thanks, Dwayne. No, really excited to come on. I think it's a great opportunity for me and also to give a bit of insight into the listeners.
Yeah, Jason at Temper and the whole Temper team looking after you very shortly with a nice... I understand you monitor your sleep anyway. You're fairly interested in the health space, aren't you, and the recovery and the health and well-being space?
100%, yeah. Not just because of my football, which is obviously the main reason why I do it, but just for general health and well-being, and I'm really interested in this space, and hopefully I can share a bit of that to the listeners.
Do you talk to the other young guys about it? You've got 1 year in the system. You've got some new players at the club. Your routine is, from what I understand, been well-researched. So talk me through your routine. You're on a day off today.
Yeah.
So what's your recovery day looking like? What's your recovery post-game look like?
Yeah, so definitely trying to give a bit of insight, like, to my teammates as well, and speaking to them, because everyone prepares and recovers differently, so I can always learn, and learning from international players in different sports, and just trying to learn as much as I can, because I am still so young and there is so much knowledge out there to try and improve and get better. But yeah, post-game, you're obviously very sore after a game, so straight after a game you're trying to get food in and recovery in, and then you take it easy. We always have a day off after a game, so I love the next day to go for a nice long walk in the morning, go get a coffee, just get moving again. That's really important, get some sunlight. And then, yeah, that day is really about recovery. So I'm getting in water, I'm doing mobility, saunas, ice baths, hot colds, wearing compression, recovery boots.
Yeah. So you put, because you can get from the waist down the whole recovery pants, can't you? But you've just got the boots?
Yeah, so they go from your hips down.
Okay, so they're, yep.
Yeah, and they're really good for, like, lymphatic drainage, which helps you with your muscle soreness and everything. And
so the celebrities do that. The Hollywood celebs do that as well, the whole getting your drainage correct. So how many players do that with the recovery boots from the waist down?
I think it's becoming way more popular now. I think most clubs have them at their facility, so players are using it. It's really easy. You can be just watching footy on the couch, reading a book, on your phone. So it's not like you have to be focusing on your recovery then, so you can do other stuff. So that's why I think a lot of people like it.
So in terms of recovery straight after the game, what are you doing straight after? Because in the old days when there was no science to it, I would often, or we would often, drive down to the beach if you played a home game and just jump into the sea at Torquay and spend, you know, 20 or 30 minutes treading water, which was often a little scary if it was a late game and you're out there in the dark, in the deep, but you would do it because that was your recovery. There's a bit more science to it now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, most grounds now in the AFL have ice baths at the ground in the change room, so a lot of boys are getting in the ice bath straight away. I personally don't do that. I don't love getting in cold water straight away.
Right.
Not because I don't like ice baths, because I have a philosophy. I don't like doing ice baths in the afternoon and straight after game. I like getting in heat after, so usually...
So what's the science behind the benefits of heat as opposed to the cold?
Yeah, so I kind of use cold as a way to get going. So in the mornings when I get to the club before my main training day, I'll do hot-cold rotations using cold therapy. But post-exercise and post-training, I think the science is it's better to get in heat and get your muscles relaxed because of that, and then that helps with your sleep. So I'm really big into infrared saunas late at night after dinner. So I've got one at home that I'm getting in most nights, and yeah, it just helps my blood circulation and helps, like, flush your body out and get rid of the little niggles that you have. And it does help your sleep. It's proven to help your sleep. So, yeah, I love it.
So you and I have talked about this before. I've got an infrared sauna as well at home. I won't say which brand because then it'll sound like a blatant plug as if I got it for nothing. But I actually paid full tote odds for it. But I'm actually thinking of getting a bigger one from a different company because I want a better one. Because I'm surprised at how well it's worked for me. So you're a believer in it as well, obviously, because I feel like it has helped me recover from soreness and my old body seems to be helped by it. So I'm thinking of upgrading mine.
Yeah, no, I couldn't speak highly of a sauna. I love it. I get in it minimum 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And try not to do it the day before a game because, you don't want to dehydrate yourself too much. But, definitely post-game and late at nights before sleep.
And how long for and what heat, may I ask?
Yeah, so my one is just a 2-person one, infrared saunas. And infrared saunas, I found, don't get quite as hot as normal saunas. So I try and turn mine on for a good amount of time before I get in it. So I'll turn it on, get in it maybe 30, 40 minutes after I've turned it on, and it gets to about 50 to 60 degrees and sit in there for about 20 to 30 minutes and gets a good sweat.
A lot of text coming through. All I can say about this segment is Dwayne who. So I'm out, you're in, Harry. Another one here. Harry, great to hear you've got your own segment with the pipe. Good luck Sunday, J-Bob. We'll talk about the North Melbourne side of things very shortly. But the space of health is something you'll come in and talk about. You monitor your sleep as well. You've got a watch that monitors your sleep. So are all the players into it as heavily as you are, or can you look into it too deeply? Can you get obsessed to the point that you start to get worried if you don't tick all the boxes every week?
Yeah, I've had this conversation with a few of the boys at the club. So I use a Whoop band, which is a brand that they sponsor me. But they've actually helped and sorted the boys out with their own bands. And a lot of the boys actually have chosen not to order one because they don't want to get too obsessed with it and they don't want it to play on their minds. And so if they think they're feeling good but their recovery scores or their sleep scores are no good, they think that'll mess with them. But yeah, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to use the data to your benefit, but not let it, control the way you feel and the way you recover.
And are you going to do something online? You've been doing some stuff online as well when it comes to the health space. You're going to do it with us here, thanks to Temper, but you're going to do some stuff as well online?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what that looks like. I'm just still trying to learn as much as I can about it and just apply it to my routine because I'm still quite young, so I don't want to do too much too early. But yeah, I'm very interested in the space for sure.
And you went overseas with Clarko. We've discussed this before, but you went overseas with Clarko. What did you learn from the Golden State Warriors? What did you learn from that little study tour where you and Drury, who else went?
George Wardlaw.
Wardlaw as well. So the three of you, he handpicked three young guys to go over there. What did you learn from your time over there?
Yeah, so we were planning to go to the States, so we made kind of a half a holiday, half business trip, I guess, off the back of Clarko's invitation. It was kind of an open invitation to anyone, and we definitely swooped on the opportunity. So we started in LA just for a little holiday, the three of us. Then we were fortunate enough to go to the Nike headquarters in Oregon, and that was just next level. The facilities and the recovery stuff there really was an eye-opener. And then we met Clarko in San Fran, where we were fortunate enough to train at Stanford University, watch their college football team and their water polo team train and use their facilities as well, and then to watch the Golden State Warriors as well was epic.
So where does the AFL stand when it comes to the technology of health and fitness compared to the way other world bodies are doing it?
They're very close. That's what surprised me. I thought it was going to be completely different new methods, ones that we haven't seen here, but I think Australia and elite sport over here are so up to date with everything they've got. Maybe the way it looks and the next level technology, like it's the same things. Like they got the ice baths, the saunas, the steam rooms, but it's just that little bit better and more luxurious, I guess, which I think we're not far off.
It's Harry's World. You can jump on the line if you want. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. I'm going to ask him some footy questions as well. One here, in H. Sheasel, out D. Russell, hamstring awareness. Harry's World, every couple of weeks on this program, thanks to Temper. The difference is Temper. And still to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu, ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. Dermot Brereton's going to join me after 2. Geelong assistant coach a little bit later on. Stephen King and Frank Panisi from the Melbourne Storm as well. Beach the lunch lockout with grandmother ham from Barclays Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. Can I ask you a couple of footy things first before we take a couple of calls? Why aren't you playing in the midfield? Can we get you in the midfield? Have Clarko mentioned to you maybe starting in the centre square for the bounce? Have you been talking about it a bit more?
To be honest, we haven't really spoken about it too much recently. We spoke about it in the pre-season, and the plan was to do a little bit of work in the midfield over the pre-season, just learn a bit about the craft, and then kind of just see how the season goes. I think he was really adamant on me starting at half back, getting my confidence up, hopefully starting well, and then seeing how we're going as a team and me personally, and then slowly transitioning there eventually. But I think he's happy with how I'm going at half back. I think at the moment that's where I think the team needs me to play. And then, yeah, it's kind of a hard one because, yeah, I might be able to offer a bit more in the midfield, but we might lose a bit at half back, and we have a lot of players going through the midfield as well that can impact and are doing a good job. And so it is a hard balance, but I'm still only 19. I got to be patient. Got a lot of footy ahead of me, so I trust everything that Clarko believes in. And he obviously did an unbelievable job of putting me to halfback last year, and that's started my career really well and has helped me settle in. So I definitely trust him.
Are you a consumer of media? Because not just me, there's a lot of people saying that you should be in the midfield, because I'm of the belief that that inside 50 kick, which you pulled off a couple of times last week against Geelong to perfection, is probably more important than the kick from half back or the back pocket to half back or half back to the wing. In your eyes, what's more important? Those are the inside 50 kicks more important?
Oh, for sure. They're the ones that can win you games. And I think I can still have the ability to do that like I did on the weekend. I was playing the same role. I think that's off the back of it, the way we defend. So we try and squeeze up the ground a bit higher and turn the ball over in our forward half, and that's going to allow me to get the ball in that forward half and impact the game there. So in the first month of the season, we were really struggling on that, and we were turning the ball over really deep in our defence, and that's why I was getting all those touches, back pocket, half back, and not really being able to impact the game as much, but I was fortunate enough to have a couple on the weekend.
So do you think you'll push forward harder from half back? Is that the plan? So you'll still be getting some inside 50 kicks, but you'll be getting them from your position at half back as opposed to having to be moved into the midfield to do it?
I think so for now. I think that's the goal. We're not too sure. It can change week to week as well based on who we're playing, the way who's available for us. So I'm not going to say it's set in stone, but it's off the back of the way we defend. So I think I'll stay at halfback for the moment, but we'll see what happens.
And light body theory in the midfield, is it too much to expect a guy like you? I mean, George Wardlaw's fairly thick in terms of his core strength, but you, McKercher, George, is it a bit hard for you to go head-to-head with the bigger body? I mean, if you're playing Collingwood, you'd have DeGoey in there. If you're playing against Melbourne, you'd have Petrarca and Viney in there. So is it hard for us to expect the young guys to be able to compete body-to-body?
I think so, and I think we've kind of seen that the last few weeks. We've been beat up around the ball in the contest. And it's hard because we are such a young and inexperienced team. We have to find that balance between playing the younger bodies, less mature bodies, and developing, I guess, us compared to playing the bigger bodies but not looking for the future. So it is a hard balance, and whether we play for the now or play for a bit down the track. So we're always speaking about ways that we can mix it up and the best way for it.
Oh, it's great to have your company for Dwayne's World and for Harry's World. Harry Sheezel in the house. And we'll head to your text very shortly. The 40 Winks Temper text, 0433 98 11 16. Your new Temper Pro, Temper's most adaptive mattress ever is here. Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses like no other. You haven't got your Temper mattress yet. I think, Harley Reid's got his. So you'll have to have a chat to Jason why Harley's got his before you've got yours.
Yeah, I know. But looking forward to it. Looks like it's a great bed and will help with my recovery for sure.
It will. The difference is Temper. Okay, a couple of harder questions. Firstly, Hawthorn, this week, you're expected to win it. It's a game where the pressure is on. You're expected to win this game. Last week, most people didn't expect you to win. I'm not sure you probably pre-game expected to win, but most people didn't think you'd win it. But the expectation's high this week.
Yeah, it definitely is. Both teams undefeated, so naturally there's going to be a bit more pressure on both sides to perform, and for us nothing really changes during the week. We prepare the same way. We will do our opposition analysis tomorrow and go into the game the same way with the same mentality. We always go in with belief. I think that's really positive what we're doing at the moment at the club. The culture is still really good and the belief is still there every week. So if we go in with that, and I think the team that wants it the most this weekend is going to win it. I think that's really important.
It's nice to hear that, because you think effort's going to be the factor. You don't think there's that much difference in terms of talent, or do you think effort's just such a big factor in modern footy that if you bring it this week, it might be the difference maker?
Yeah, I think for us, we've seen that the team that wins in the contest and the pressure rating this year, most teams have gone on to win the game. So I think that's really important.
We've talked a bit about how hard you run when you don't have the ball. Is that something that gets tracked fairly heavily, because your defensive pressure is based on how hard you work when you don't have it?
Yeah, it's also a system, the way we defend, and with coming forward and putting pressure in the opposition's face and trying to make them kind of delay them, and helps us get set up behind the ball a bit better as well to help us defend better, which we definitely need at the moment.
So do you ever see yourself morphing into a one-on-one kind of defence, or do you think that's so far away? Even though Port did it a couple of weeks ago, Port deny opposition marks as well. So Port are the kind of team that actually put pressure on teams to not allow them to mark in game, which is a different defence to play as well.
Yeah, it is. I think it kind of, we make tweaks every now and then to the system, but overall the system, we kind of back ourselves in to support each other, and it's a system defence. It's not just one-on-ones.
And they say that you learn more from losses than from wins. What did you learn from the Cats last week? They're a pretty good unit, aren't they, even though they're just sort of regrouping themselves off the back of a year where they missed the eight?
Yeah, definitely. And over there at GMHBA, they're so strong and so hard to beat. But they do an unbelievable job. Their defensive stability, I think, is one of the best in the comp at the moment. And Tom Stewart's doing a great job at that. They're releasing him as that interceptor type, and he's kind of doing what he wants back there, which it's really hard to plan for and to beat and counter, and as well as their half forwards, like Grian Myers, a great player, Brad Close as well. And they do a really good job of trying to pull you apart, your back line apart, and their half forwards get really high and their deep forwards stay really deep, so it's hard to connect. We struggle with that at times.
You've had a couple of games at GMHBA. Is it a difficult ground? Is it a different ground, that cigar-shaped ground, to defend?
A little bit. It didn't feel too different this time around because we played the week before in Adelaide.
Yes.
At Norwood Oval, which was even skinnier. So we kind of were prepared for that. So it didn't feel too dissimilar.
Nick Larkey, 100th game this weekend. He's been a great full forward for you, and he's sticking around, which is even better.
Yeah, 100%. He's an unbelievable player and an even better person. He's a great leader at our club, and he's had to shoulder a lot of the load up forward for recent years. And he's committed to the club long term, which is really exciting, and hopefully he gets rewarded.
Will Clarko use that as a motivation factor pregame? Do you do the video pregame thing? Does Clarko like to do that?
Yeah, we do. It's more for the individual. It's an unbelievable achievement playing 100 games, especially where he came from at such a late pick. I'm sure he could never have imagined of playing 100 games for North Melbourne to sign such a long contract and make an All-Australian team. So he's done an incredible job, and it's an incredible story.
And a question based on what's happened this week. There was a caller earlier on and a texter as well suggesting that if you're going to give discounts for good records, then it's a disadvantage for young players like you who've got a good record but haven't had a chance to actually prove it over 200 games yet. What's your philosophy on whether you should get a good guy discount at the tribunal?
Yeah, I think it is a weird one. I kind of understand it in a way that if you have played like 300 games and you've never committed any, not crime, but like haven't done anything bad, that you maybe should have a bit of leniency towards your penalty. But yeah, it is a bit of a weird one with the younger players. And I think it is a very tough topic. And I think if you are committing, I guess, those acts at a young player, you probably should get penalised to teach you the lesson. But if you have proven as a long-term player that you good footballer, good citizen, you get adjudicated accordingly.
So when do you think you're a good guy discount will kick in? Do you think it should kick in at 150 or 200 games? Well, when do you think is a fair time for it to kick?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I can't really put a game limit on it, but hopefully I'm always the good guy and I never commit anything.
Well, you've been a good guy in here today, Harry. Great to have you in. Looking forward to talking to you on a regular basis. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate it.
Harry Sheasel, North Melbourne Young Gun, Harry's World. It's going to be a regular segment every couple of weeks on this program on Dwayne's World. And it's thanks to Temper. The difference is Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R.